The story is told that a woman once approached the great preacher D.L. Moody and criticised him to his face, not for problems with the MP3 player, but for his methods of evangelism. And after a few moments, Moody apparently replied, "Well, I agree with you, madam. I don't like the way that I do it either. Tell me, how do you do it?" And the woman responded, "Well, Mr. Moody, I don't do it." D.L. Moody thought for a moment before answering, "Then, madam, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." Evangelism is a word, isn't it, that that many Christians feel uncomfortable about. We just sort of shy away from forcing our opinions onto others. And if that is what evangelism is, then I wholeheartedly agree with you. But I want to suggest to you that evangelism is something quite different and quite essential for us if our churches are to grow. We've already established that the good news of the gospel must be at the heart of our churches if we want them to grow. The gospel is what makes us distinctive and attractive and basically the Church of Christ. If we're not gospel-centered churches, then we aren't Christian churches. But it's no use just holding on to that glorious truth and hiding away the gospel if we want to be churches that grow. I mean, actually, in all honesty, the gospel is something that Jesus commands us to share. We're not really at liberty to opt in. Listen again to Matthew 28. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" These are Jesus' parting words to the disciples before he ascends to reign at God's right hand. Now, when we go on holiday and leave our grown-up children in charge of the house, we make sure that our parting words are important. Don't forget to feed the dog. Put the bins out on Monday night. At night, lock the doors, make sure they're locked, and turn the lights out. We love you. Those are the kind of the important things we want our children to remember as we go away. When we do that, when we go away, we want people to remember that the last thing we said. It's, you know, this sort of famous last words, isn't it, that people have said. We want people to remember the last thing that we said to them, even if the bit about turning out the lights annoys them. But anyway, you know, they're important things we want to share with people. And Jesus is no different. These verses at the end of Matthew's Gospel are called the Great Commission. A commission is to formally choose someone to do a special piece of work. And Jesus formally chooses his disciples to go into all the world and to make more disciples for him. We, because we are Jesus' disciples, are to preach to unbelievers and to teach those who are curious and to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit those who come to faith in Christ. And there's no wiggle room here. Jesus doesn't say, "Look, this is a task I've got for some of you, okay? Those of you over here, you're going to be the ones that tell people about me." Or even, "It's just you guys here on this mountain today." No. Jesus commands. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He commands all of his disciples throughout the history of the Christian church to do this work. Don't panic. He then reassures us that he will be with us in this task by his Spirit because he's about to ascend to heaven. And we know that this action of evangelizing the world includes us because it continues until the end of the age, says Jesus. In other words, until Jesus himself returns in glory to make the new heavens and the new earth. Therefore, it's a commission to all disciples throughout all of history until Jesus returns. He's not yet returned, so it applies to us. And this is a great command. Now, honestly, it is. And I want to emphasize that because many of us shrink back and say, "But I'm not an evangelist," because we've got a very sort of strong idea of what an evangelist is. And an evangelist is someone who stands up in front of a tent full of people. They've got a slightly shiny suit on and they sort of, you know, have an American accent usually and do lots of pounding of the lectern as they preach. But I think you're evangelists and you don't realise it. Do you remember that we discovered a while back that our word gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion, which basically means good news? We saw then that an evangelical was someone who believed in the good news of the good news of Jesus. So an evangelist is basically someone who evangelizes and therefore does evangelism, and they're basically just someone who loves to share good news. When we realize that Jesus commands us to be evangelists, that's the best place to start. If someone commands me to go and tell people to eat Lindor chocolate every day, I'm going to feel a lot more positive about that task than if someone was to say to me, I'm commanding you to go and tell people to eat a bowl of tripe every day. Yeah, because we all know that Lindor chocolate is so much more pleasant than a bowl of tripe. Okay, I can't even remember what a bowl of tripe tastes like, but it doesn't look good, does it? You know, if we believe that Jesus is good news, and I hope that we do, then sharing that good news shouldn't be such a chore. It shouldn't seem quite as scary, because we already like to do that sort of thing. Let me give you an example. I've always had very eclectic musical tastes. My main Spotify list is kind of all over the shop. You never quite know what's going to come next. And I've always been like that. I've had very different musical tastes to my parents. Much, much broader. But I love the music that I'm into. And as a young person, I wanted them to hear it too. You know, I didn't expect them to like everything that I liked, but I wanted them to understand what I loved and what made me tick. You know, and yes, I hoped occasionally they might say, yeah, I quite like that one. Who was that? Killing Joke. But so as a teenager, I would sit my poor parents down in front of our stereo and play them the latest single that I'd spent my pocket money on. I loved the music that I discovered, and I loved it so much that I wanted other people to hear it too. And I bet that you do something similar with something else. Your food, you know, your favourite food, your holiday destinations, the books that you're reading, the TV programmes that you've become obsessed by, the restaurants you've been to, your children, your children's children, what they're doing, where they're going, what's happening in their lives. You're telling people the good news of what you love. And that's basically what evangelism is. So you're evangelists for other causes. You just need to start being an evangelist for Jesus as well. We need to stop thinking of Jesus as tripe and start thinking of him as Lindor or Ultravox or Palestrina or Santorini or whatever it is that you love. Remind yourself that Jesus is wonderfully good news. If we gossip the gospel, if it's part of our everyday conversation, if we make Jesus an unashamed part of our life, then we'll share that good news with people that we come into contact with. We'll do that job of evangelism. And if people come to see how much we love Jesus and how much he's changed our lives for the better, then they might just ask us more about him. Or they might come along to church with us to find out more. However, if we don't talk about Jesus, then we shouldn't be surprised if our churches don't grow. Because without Jesus, what is it that we're really inviting people to? Hey, come along to church, because you might like sitting in a reasonably cold building on fairly hard seats. That's not good news, is it? Hi, I was wondering if you wanted to come on be on a committee to keep an ancient building going. There might be quite a lot of infighting and personal agendas. Nah, that's not good news, is it? Hey, I wonder if you wanted to come to church with me on Sunday because we really need your money. That's really not good news. But Jesus is amazingly good news. And he's so much more attractive than we think. We've been sold a lie that Jesus is embarrassing or unpopular or out of date or cringeworthy. Jesus is none of those things. He's the light of the world. He's the one that our friends and our family members have been searching for all their lives. They just might not know it. I mean, don't get me wrong, some people will react to Jesus with anger, threats, disdain, mockery, even violence sometimes. But that's because Jesus' holiness has always been a threat to some. But there'll be many people who've been looking for Jesus, and it's just that they've never been introduced to him. If the Church of Christ wants to grow, and I hope that we want to grow, then we need to boldly proclaim Jesus and be the place where his followers meet together with those who are seeking or those who are curious about him. So look, how do we do it? How do we do it well? Well, good news, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Let's just unpack that a little bit. Peter says, if you're gossiping the gospel, if Jesus is a natural part of your conversation, your life, you know, what did you do at the weekend? Oh, you know, went shopping, had a day out, went to church on Sunday, you know, talked about evangelism, ooh, you know. So if just a natural part, when people notice that you have hope in your life, when they can see that there's something different about you in a positive way, be prepared to give them an answer. Don't be ashamed or afraid to talk about Jesus. Apparently Francis of Assisi once said, preach the gospel, if necessary use words. And people sometimes quote that, we don't need to talk about Jesus, we don't need to be evangelists. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Yet we should be living out our Christian lives every day, but we've got to use words. I heard someone sort of tackle this head on, and they said, you wouldn't say to people, feed the world, use food if necessary. I mean, that's a nonsense, isn't it? It's actually even slightly offensive. You wouldn't say that. And in the same way, you can't say to people, preach the gospel, but if necessary, use words. We've got to explain to people who Jesus is somewhere along the line. If we never feed them spiritually with the good news, they will never know Jesus. We must live out our faith, but we must be prepared to talk about Jesus. And preparation is the key. I follow very few people or things on Instagram. So it's poor little algorithms that are constantly trying to work out what I might be into. And sometimes it gets it right. Sometimes it's kind of vaguely interesting. Sometimes it's spectacularly wrong. And one of the things that's been quite interesting recently is it's decided that it's going to send me reels by a woman who provides safety information for other women. In all fairness, with a wife and a daughter, it's kind of quite interesting to sort of, you know, watch it. The other day, she popped up on my feed with a reel where she talked about what to do if you live in an apartment and you're in the flat, in the lift, and a stranger gets into the lift with you and asks you if you live in that apartment. And she says, she doesn't quite put it like this, but she says, don't say, yes, I live all alone in apartment 17. Yeah, that's not a good idea, is it? That's not smart. You've got to think about your personal safety. She says, what you should say is something like, I wish, I'm just here visiting some of my friends that I was at uni with. That's a good way of deflecting it. But what she said was, preparation was key. If you've got your story ready, then when someone asks you, do you live in this apartment? In this block of apartments, you've got your story ready to give them. If you haven't, you're going to flounder and waffle and flannel, and it'll be clear that you're lying and you don't know what you're talking about. And the same is true for us if we're going to speak about Jesus and our faith. A really good way to start is to practice your testimony. People are interested in you. That's why they're your friends. So practice your little story. It only needs to be 2 minutes long. And it doesn't have to be a great sort of thing, you know. I was kind of an international jewel thief. And you don't have to be one of those people to have a story. You can have grown up in a Christian family, but there must have been a point, a day, a situation when Jesus became real for you. So talk about what your life was like before that, what it was that brought you to that moment, and what your life has been like after that. It only needs to be 2 minutes long. And remember, Jesus is the focus, not you and me, okay? But practice it. If you've practiced it, if you've thought it through, and you know what you're going to say, when someone says, why are you a Christian? You're ready, you're prepared. You're not going to waffle or flannel. And then think about how you'd share the good news of Jesus if someone asked. You know, maybe you'd like to have a little tract in your pocket if you want to know a bit more information about it. Have a word with me. There are some at the back. They're there to be taken. Please take them. Please use them. You know, have it in your pocket. Have it in your bag. Have it in your coat. Maybe you'd want something on your phone. I've got 321 on my phone. So, you know, something that you could actually use with someone. The key is to be prepared. You might want to memorize a simple gospel outline. You need to memorize it. so that you're prepared. And if you're on social media, and lots of us are these days, live out your faith there too. The other day I was on a webinar, and Glenn Scrivener, who amongst other things wrote 3-2-1 as a course, he was there, and he gave out three basic tips for being an evangelist. Now listen to these. Be yourself. Okay? Don't try and be someone else. Be yourself. Just be you. This is how to be an evangelist in your social media feeds. Be yourself. Own that you're a Christian. Don't deny Jesus. Don't, you know, don't have to sort of shout about it all the time, but own that you're a Christian. And three, I think probably the most important, don't be a jerk. So be yourself, own that you're a Christian, don't be a jerk. And to be honest, those principles are equally true for our everyday lives, because Peter says, look, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but don't be a jerk. Do this with gentleness and respect. Peter says, don't go out there and ram Jesus down everyone's throat. He says, be gentle, be respectful. There's a place for street evangelism, there's a place for big rallies, there's a place for handing out literature on the street corner, there's a place for talking about Jesus. There's a time not to do those things. Not everyone will respond to those things really well. Peter says, don't be a jerk and don't become either the Christian bore or don't become the hypocrite who proclaims your faith and then dishonours Jesus by being a poor witness in your everyday life. Instead, be gentle and respectful. Honour Jesus in the way that you proclaim his name in person and online. And of course, all the while, remember that telling people about Jesus is telling them good news. You know, if someone says to me, where did you go on holiday that you really liked? I don't kind of go, oh, well, Greece. Greece, we went to Greece. And I know not everyone likes Greece, and I know it's not Spain, and it's not... Remember, Jesus is good news. And talk about Jesus as if he is good news. If we want to be a church, we've got to talk about Jesus. We've got to evangelize. We've got to share the good news. If we want to be nothing more than a social club, then we might grow if we don't tell people the gospel. But sadly, as we do so, what will happen is we'll grow more and more with people who are non-Christians, but who have no interest in becoming Christians, who have no interest in Christ, and who will frankly see Jesus as being superfluous to the society, the club that they've joined, who'll find him an inconvenience, and will actually try and squeeze him out more and more and more. And our churches, therefore, will stop being salt and light for God in our communities, and they'll end up being nothing more than historical curiosities and social clubs. And at the same time, the men and the women and the children who live in our villages will be deprived of the opportunity to know who Jesus is as their Lord and Saviour and be saved from their sins for all eternity. And Jesus will therefore remove his blessing from our churches, and they will eventually wither and die. Let's not do that. I know that we might not always feel that we're very good at being evangelists. Every Christian that's ever talked about Jesus has had certainly one, if not numerous times when they've kind of walked away and gone, I said what? I can't believe that I said, why didn't I say? If only I had that time again. We might wish we said things differently, or that we could answer questions with a brilliant response. Don't ever be afraid to say, can I get back to you on that one? And go and find out the answer. You know, we might not always like the way that we share the good news of Jesus, but like D.L. Moody, God likes our imperfect but gentle and respectful evangelism much, much more than the alternative of not doing it at all. After all, Paul fearlessly declared, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Let's be prepared. prepared to grow Christ's church by gently and respectfully introducing people to Jesus. In other words, let's be unashamed of the gospel together. Amen.